Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. We have been talking about different names or titles, or I like using the word duties of the devil. Let me, when you get there, look at me so that I know that you're there. When I use this term, different titles or different duties, this is what I mean. I'm the same person, but I hold many different positions. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a pawpaw. I'm an uncle. I'm a son. I'm a pastor. And I could go on and on and on. And in each one of those situations, I'm the same person, but I have different responsibility. Does that make sense? Even though I'm the same person, to my grandson, I'm Pawpaw. He's just now learning that Pawpaw and Pastor are the same person. And that's a little confusing. And I understand that. But I'm also not his daddy. I'm daddy to his mama, or was. I guess I still am, but I don't have to be daddy to her. But all those things, each position requires a different part of me. Does that make sense? And I play a different role in each one of those. When you come to church tonight, I'm not going to greet you like I did my grandson or my granddaughter. You say, why? Because I'm not your pawpaw. And there's a reason for that. You say, preacher, that's silly. That's why God used so many different titles and duties for the devil. That's what I want you to see in this Bible study, all right? Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read a goodly portion of this, and I want you to see something here tonight. Look at verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, I want you to know something. It's talking about a word there, dragon. We're going to get into that in a little bit here. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Mark that little statement, stars of heaven. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Watch this. That old serpent called the devil. Amen. Now notice, dragon, serpent, and devil are all the same, correct? Amen. All right. And Satan, there's another one, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth of the man-child. And we're going to stop there. I want you to notice we've talked about many of these titles. The accuser of the brethren, Satan, the devil, the deceiver. We've gone into many of those, the serpent. Tonight we're going to talk about the dragon. The dragon. Now, this may be, we will discuss probably one of the most used titles by the world. The dragon. Now, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of study. I put a lot of time into this. I'm not going to bog you down with a myriad of details. There is no such thing as a dragon in the shape of a dinosaur, quote unquote. The Greek word dragon and the Hebrew word dragon is the word dragon. There's no such recorded in history anywhere of a dinosaur type dragon until the late 1850s, after a man named Charles Darwin came about. Just so you know. Now, you say, why is that, preacher? Because of the devil. The word dragon is used 12 times in Scripture. Now, the word dragons, plural, is used about that many times or a little bit more. And so at about 25 times total or so in Scripture, you'll see that word or a form of that word. The word dragon in Hebrew, Greek, and even in the Old English means this: the form of a serpent, a fabulous or large serpent. That's all it is. Say, what is a dragon? A big snake. It is not like Puff the Magic Dragon. For some of you, you did a little too much of that. It does not. The funny part was, while my wife and I were in Hawaii, we were in a place called Hanalei. And we were standing there, and they were saying, do you all know such and such song? Well, the guy that wrote it sat here while he was stoned out on drugs, and he looked at this mountain, and this is what he saw is the dragon, and we actually saw what it was. That mountain does not look like a dragon. That dude smoked way too much stuff. A dragon does not have fire proceeding out of its mouth. Sometimes you'll see it talking about a poison or something, and it'll say, like a fire. But if you've known anybody that has been bitten by a snake, the poison from a snake will virtually is like fire. It is a large, poisonous snake is what a dragon is. And even as you read through Revelation 12, you could see what a snake would do in catching its prey. It'll wait for a mother rat or something to have its babies and just wait for that right timing, go into the nest and start eating up the young. They're defenseless. So they're able to gobble them down very quickly. They're opportunistic. Now, while the mother or parent would be away hunting for the little ones, the snakes go in and eat the little ones and then wait for the mamas and daddies to come back and eat them too. But, so I want to talk tonight about the dragon. Number one, I'm going to give you about six or seven statements tonight. Number one, the devil is referred to as the dragon about, like I said, a dozen times. And then about another dozen or more times, there's the word dragons, plural, but it's not in reference to the devil. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Be careful who you study. Since the Revised Version came out in the early 1900s, many Bible scholars, including Mr. Schofield, have been affected by liberalism. They'll tell you it means a jackal or a coyote or a wolf. That is not what the word means. Some would say it's a desert serpent. Well, you've heard of a Komodo dragon. That's very possible that that's what a dragon would be like. And by the way, their bite is very fiery because they have so much poison in their mouth and so much bacteria. But something similar to a snake or a Komodo dragon would be very similar to that. I think more of a snake since it represents the devil, and I'll show you why in Genesis chapter 3. But it's not something that breathes fires and has little wings and floats in the air consuming everybody. All right? So the dragon is a form of a serpent. Number three, actually. The dragon was powerful enough to cause a third of heaven's angels to be cast down. Now, look at Revelation chapter 12. And his tail drew the third part of the what? Stars of heaven. Now, that's interesting. I want you to notice something. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. The mystery of the seven what? Stars, which thou sawest in my right hand in the seven golden sticks. The seven stars are the what? Angels. Now look at me. These are the seven stars, which are the stars of the churches. The angels of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, often in Scripture, the word stars is representing angels. Let me show you what I mean. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O who? Okay, that's the devil, right? Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the what? Stars of God, the angels of God. Huh. All the way back in Isaiah 14, it's in reference to that. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, and size of the north, ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now, God uses this analogy. Now, as far as I can tell, this is where people, and I can't speak of this, I know this. This is where they get the part of heaven's angels followed the devil, because it uses that terminology here, but it also is in reference to the tribulation. So I can't tell you for sure how many of heaven's angels followed the devil, but I do know this: there was a very large portion that did. And these stars represented here are the stars or the angels of God. Okay, makes sense to everybody? And it's very clear throughout Scripture. And I could take you other places. We don't have time tonight. But I do want you to understand the dragon was powerful enough and was strong enough to bring down these angels. Now, everybody look at me for a second. These angels, they were perfect. They were sinless. And he was able to convince a portion of heaven to follow him sinfully. In heaven. That's a lot of power. He was able to take sinless man and bring us down to sinful people. The devil's power is stronger than you think. I don't think people really take this topic of the devil being as strong as it is. It's not something to mess with. Number four, we as humans are no match for the devil. I don't think there's a person under the sound of my voice that has ever actually faced the devil himself. Some of you say, you don't know my mother-in-law or my father-in-law or this person or that person. It's still not as bad as the devil. Maybe evil? Yes. The devil himself? Probably not. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. That's page 3 for Brother Aaron. You got the wrong Bible, that's why. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? Genesis chapter 3, it goes into page 4 for me. But chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent, serpent, who's that? The devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the days that your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I want you to notice something. Skip down to verse 13. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That means at one point in time, at least the type of serpent that the devil was had legs. But from that point on, God struck it to the ground and it crawled on its belly everywhere it went. But I want you to notice something. The devil was able to convince two sinless beings to sin. They walked with God in his presence every day. And the devil was powerful enough to take man down. He overpowers the angels in heaven. He overpowers man. He even fought off Michael and Gabriel. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 51. Here in Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar mentions the dragon. Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 34. Jeremiah 51, verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Now look at me. How does a snake or a serpent eat its food and swallows it whole? It also, once it's gotten all the nutrition and everything out that it can, it regurgitates the carcass back out. So all the bits of bone and flesh and things that do not digest, it spits it back out. That's exactly what Jeremiah 51:34 is talking about. The devil will swallow you, suck everything and all the life out of you, and then spit you out and go to the next one. That's what people don't understand. I saw a video of an egg snake, and it unhinges its mouth and swallows an egg, and you see the egg traveling down the snake, and eventually you see it burst. And after a couple days, that snake will regurgitate, and there's a little white package of nothing but a squeezed out shell that comes out its mouth. Well, that happens with every snake that eats something. what it cannot digest, it spits back out. Now, you are not strong enough to endure the dragon. Stay away from the power of the devil. Now, I'm going to get into some things here people aren't going to like. We have made entertainment of dragons. We've made light of it. And we don't realize how much it's there. Why is it, and don't answer out loud, but why is it that especially in Asian cultures, the powerful forces are of the dragon? Because it's the devil. Take a look at video games and how many of them have dragons. Take a look at Disney and how many dragon movies there are. And I'm not saying that you're a wicked heathen person if you saw some thing with a dragon on it. But I will tell you this, the devil is diluting our opinion of him. We have to understand there is power. The Asian people understand and they draw from that evil power. Try to win an Asian person to the Lord that's been steeped in the Asian doctrines. Ooh, it's tough. It's easier to win a Catholic than an East Asian. Trust me. You say, why? Because the power of darkness, the power of the serpent, the power of the devil. We misjudge. Oh, that's cute. No, that's evil. The devil wants to break it down to where you think it is cute so that he can reprogram. I'm very cautious about those things. There was a day, and I don't advise this, but go through, and I'm just saying this not to do so, but if you went through much of the rock music, it talks about the powers of darkness, talks about dragons, talks about serpents. Why is it most of the rock and roll bands, look at all the tattooing with serpents and dragons? It's pretty vile. It's more prevalent than you think. Now, everybody doing okay? I say that to say this. It's not something that we ought to make light of. Number five, I got to hurry here. There will be war with the dragon, Lucifer, versus the other archangel, Michael. Look at Revelation chapter 12 again. There's places in the Old Testament that we're not going to take time to turn, but God talks about this, how that an answer was delayed from God to one of the prophets because the devil intercepted and was fighting with Gabriel and Michael and delayed them. Look at Revelation chapter 12. And there was war in where? Okay, you sound like Methodist tonight. And there was war where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. You have to understand there was a war in heaven, and this will take place, and it'll be the forces of evil against the forces of heaven. And the Bible talks about it'll get to the point where God himself is going to have to cast out the devil and those angels that followed him. That's pretty powerful. When God's got to step in for Michael and Gabriel, it's pretty powerful. We are no match for the devil. Say, what do we fight with? Look at verse number 11. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. That's their salvation. And they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will give you victory over the devil. Amen. That's called salvation. It's not just the shed blood, it's the applied blood, not only to the mercy seat, but to your own personal life. Amen. I will never forget this till my dying day, I hope. I was preaching in a rescue mission in downtown Los Angeles. We were on Fifth Street in downtown LA. Imagine our rescue mission, but it being in downtown LA. I took my mom and dad down there one time. My mom had twin calves. My dad leaned over and said, "Can we get out of this God-forsaken place? It is rough, it is bad, it is nasty." And I would preach, and there would be about 300 men at that rescue mission. Well, our church would go once a month, and most of the time I preached down there and had all kinds of people saved. And our church members that would go, they'd make up a choir. We would sing and they would sing with us. And we had all kinds of fun. Well, I was preaching one night, and about 10 rows back on this side, a guy gets up and starts praying to Satan while I'm preaching. I mean, praying to the devil. They don't teach you in Bible college what to do with that. But I got a black deacon behind me. He said, "Tag, Brother Bush. Tag, Brother Bush." This guy, I'm trying to get him to sit down. He said, "Tag, Brother Bush," and he jumps up. I turn around, he said, "Tag." I'm like that. He jumped down, he ran back, and he gets in this guy's face, that far away. "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus by the blood of..." And he's just going at him. Say, "What'd you do?" Whole place is quiet. And I mean quiet. And brother, he was going at it. He preached at him for about 45 seconds. He said, "Now you sit down and you listen to the man of God. Got it?" Guy sat down. He come running back down the aisle. As he jumps up on the platform, he said, "Tag, brother." Boom. I started preaching again. I'm not lying. I can't make it up. This is the truth. You know, I gave the invitation that night. That guy came down and that black man led him to the Lord. What was it? I really believe the statement, "By the blood of Jesus." That got the man's attention and shut him up. We don't understand how powerful the blood is. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time there are evil spirits and demons that see Jesus, remember, as you read it, look how many times they said, "We know who you are, and we know you know our name." How did he know their name? Because they were in heaven. He knew who they were. Some of the demons have more respect for Jesus than liberals do today. So it's talking about our salvation. It's also talking about how we preach. So I won't back down. I won't change on what we preach. I had somebody call me just yesterday, and their heart was broken. Somebody had disappointed them, a preacher of many years. And they said, "What do I do?" I said, "You keep doing right, just like I'm going to keep doing right." I said, "Why did you call me?" And they said, "Because we know you're not changing." I said, "You're right, and you shouldn't either." It's talking about are witnessing for God, getting the truth out. Folks, the devil runs from Jesus. We don't have to quake in our boots at him. He'll run away from us with the truth. How do you beat the devil? By presenting truth. The devil's not real happy with our church because we witnessed to over 1,500 people in the last week. We got folks in our church that passed out another 150 or 180 tracts this week alone. Can I tell you something? I don't think the devil's real happy about that. You wonder why we got three in the hospital or four at a time? The devil's working overtime. He's trying to discourage, but guess what? A lot of people in the hospital getting gospel tracts too. Number six. The devil has tried to hide from us or numb us from how powerful he is. Something you need to be aware of. The devil is very subtle. Miss Paula came up to me before church. She had a picture of a snake. She wanted to know what it was. Well, I couldn't tell you what it was, but I could tell you it wasn't poisonous. And I showed her how to know the difference. This, that, and the other thing. Say why? Because snakes are subtle. You know that a rattlesnake is the only snake that makes a noise before striking? And honestly, they make that noise to draw prey in, not to repel them. The noise is there, shh, because other animals will say, what's that noise? We better go see what that is. And that movement attracts the snake to be able to get to where they are. See, the snake uses that sound, but most of the time, you'll never hear a snake. They just kind of appear. Say why? They're very subtle. Brother Kevin, you know, because you were on the other side of the mountain over there, you're careful not to pick up too many logs. Or if you do, you pick them up and or kick them over first to make sure there's nothing underneath them. You say why? Because more than likely there's a snake laying under there somewhere. You say why? They're very subtle. Now, if Miss Loretta saw it, she'd have her own rapture, amen? There'd be a new trail cut in the woods. Exit any way she can get out of there. Now, we have to understand the devil has masked his own power. I wonder how many people, and there's nothing wrong with martial arts in general. But I wonder how many people are involved in the religion of the martial arts because of the symbology of the snakes and the dragons. Why do you think all that power is represented by that? Dragons in Asia are a representation of paradise, not hell. It's a representation of supremacy, like God. We don't understand the power of the devil or his representation. Lastly, next to last, the dragon is so powerful that he can transfer his power to others. Look at Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Do you remember what was in chapter 12? Seven heads and ten horns, right? And God cast it to the earth. And upon his heads the name what? Blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Notice who gave him power. The dragon. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. By the way, that's 3.5 years, just like the 1,260 days. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And I was given unto them to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a what? Dragon. Look at me. He had the ability to transfer that power to someone else. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Look at verse number 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now notice something. Satan entered him. That was satanic taking over a human body. But it cannot overtake a saved person. Judas was a lost man. Judas died and went to hell. Judas's lips kissed the very blood that could have saved him. That's why he said, before he hung himself, "I've betrayed innocent what? Blood." Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, very quickly. John chapter 13, look at verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil was put into Judas's heart. Demon possession is real, but not for Christians. It's impossible for a saved person to be possessed by a devil. We can choose to be rebellious like a devil, but we cannot be controlled by one. Say why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and the Holy Spirit is God, and God is more powerful than the devil. Impossible for a saved person to be possessed by devils. Now, here's my favorite part. Go to Revelation chapter 20, and I'm done. I'm about to shout now. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. I love that statement. And shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now look at me. One day at the end of the tribulation, an angel will come and bind up the devil and open the bottomless pit and chain him up and throw him in, shut up that chamber and seal it off, and he'll be there for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, we will be here on the earth ruling and reigning with Jesus sitting in the seat of David in Israel in a place called Jerusalem in the Temple Mount. That's what's taking place for the devil. He's burning in this bottomless pit, falling forever and ever for 1,000 years. But then he'll be loosed for a season. But after that, you have the great white throne judgment. And then the new heaven and the new earth and eternity future. Now everybody look at me. One day, that old serpent, the dragon's going to be put away. But let's not be ignorant of his devices now. It's not just a cartoon character. It's not Pete's dragon or Puff the Magic Dragon. It's the devil being the dragon. That's the reality of it. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, not necessarily life changing, but it ought to be life warning. What are we watching? What are we thinking? What are we participating in?